This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
What kind of a God is it that would be happy if I'm suffering unjustly? It doesn't really say that he's happy if we suffer unjustly. It says he's happy if we keep a good attitude when we suffer unjustly. A wise man suffers much less than a fool. Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. I'm going to talk to you for a minute about our words. A self-confident fool's lips bring contention, and his mouth invites a beating. You know, that's actually just worth reading again. A self-confident fool's lips bring contention, starts arguments, starts fights, causes strife, causes problems. How many times have you said something dumb, or if I'll just blame it on me. How many times have I said something dumb? Because I know you don't do that. And I've just started some big ordeal with somebody and just thought later, why didn't I just keep my mouth shut? It's so hard for us to just keep our mouth shut. I often say, God gave us two ears and one mouth. That must mean we're supposed to listen more than we talk, but we fail to do that. Proverbs 12, 18. There are those who speak rashly. That means they just say whatever floats around in their head and they don't really give any thought to what they're about to say. There are those who speak rashly like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Isn't that good? Proverbs 18, 21. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And get this, and those who indulge it must eat the fruit of it. Uh-oh. Come on, I'm not making this up. This is real stuff. You know, I didn't know this. I was a Christian for many years, and nobody told me this. And I don't care how many times you've heard messages about the power of your words, you're going to get a little refresher course this afternoon. Because we still, it's one of the areas that we have one of the biggest problems with, is we just say a bunch of dumb stuff. And then we get in trouble and we're mad at God because he's not fixing it. We have to be especially careful how we talk when we're under pressure. How we talk when things aren't going the way we want them to go. In John 14, 30, I love this. What a lesson this is. It was getting close to the time when Jesus was going to begin to go into his suffering in Gethsemane, and he was trying to convey to the disciples some of the things that were getting ready to happen. And in John 14, 30, he said, I'm not going to talk with you much more after this because the wicked one is coming and he has no part in me. Now, what are we going to make out of that other than Jesus said, look, what's going on right now is really important. The decisions that I make now, there's a lot based on these decisions. And so even Jesus in his humanity decided that he was going to just be quiet during his time of suffering because he did not want to open a door for the enemy that would give him any access to anything that was going on. How many of you think sometimes when you're going through trouble, you'd just be so better off to just go lock yourself in a room somewhere and just not say anything to anybody? Oh, we're not done with you yet. We still got tonight to go. And then I love this in Isaiah 53, 7. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive and he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now, how many years did I read those scriptures and I didn't have a clue what that meant? And I think it means exactly what it says. When Jesus was under pressure, he kept quiet. Because although he was God, He also was man. And do you know, he was a God man, and that's what the Bible calls him. And you know what? That's exactly what we are today. You're a God man or a God woman. You have a human flesh, but God lives in you. And the Holy Spirit is in you, guiding you and directing you. And he's in me, guiding me and directing me. If we would just slow down just a little bit. And just when the Lord says, keep quiet. Just keep quiet. How many of you think, how many of you agree with me that you could change a lot of things in your life if you just change some of the stuff you say? Okay, so then it's not God's fault, is it? A wise man has a lot better things going on in his circumstances than a foolish man does. Another thing that we should not do, that we do, just trying to be real practical here this afternoon, the Bible says in Matthew 7, 1 and 2, do not judge and criticize and condemn other people. Well. Has anybody managed to get to, I don't know, what time is it? 2:30 something? I have no idea. Has anybody managed to get to this time of the day and you haven't judged or criticized anybody yet? I don't know. You may have had some opinions about me already today. And I'm up here trying to help you. Well, that's the second outfit she's had on today. Well, I'm going to have another one on tonight, so you should come back and see that one. And you know what? I'm not trying to impress you with my many outfits, but if I wore the same thing all day today, I can tell you something you don't know. I would have the same thing on TV for 6 days in a row. So poor me, I have to shop for TV. What a burden I carry. And you know what? Here's the other side of it. If you're jealous because I got more than two outfits, then, man, you need to watch my program 4 times a day. We have so many opinions about what everybody else does, and we get so caught up in what we think other people should do when our own lives are much more of a mess than theirs are. And if you don't need this, I'll preach to me because I'm pretty opinionated. Do not judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned. Okay, so when you hear that somebody's been talking about you, boy, it makes you mad. But let me ask you a question. Are they sowing a bad seed or are you reaping off of a bad seed that you sowed in somebody else's life? Some of you didn't even get that. We'll make another pass at it. If we gossip and judge and criticize other people, then the Bible says that's what we're going to get back. So we're so quick to do that. And I really wasn't kidding when I said, has anybody made it till 2 o'clock this afternoon and you haven't judged or criticized anybody yet? Chances are, there's not too many in here that have. And so we do it so much, to be honest, we don't even really see the problem with it. It's just like we just think that's fine to just try to run everybody else's life. Well, let me just throw this out. I haven't got to say this for a while. You know what? You can improve your life a lot if you just mind your own business. Man, we get involved in other people's stuff, and it's just so silly. We have so many opinions about what other people should and shouldn't do. Save yourself a lot of trouble and just mind your own business. And if you really feel like that somebody's doing something that's against the Word of God, pray for them and don't go tell somebody else what they're doing. Come on, this is just good, plain Bible teaching. And so here's the thing. The devil's not just looking for an open door in your life. He's looking for any little tiny crack he can crawl through. And the more opportunity you have to do things for God, the narrower your path is going to become. Can I tell you something? There might be things that you could do and you wouldn't have the same repercussion that I would if I did it because of what I'm doing and what I'm teaching. The Bible says, don't let many of you become teachers because there will be much greater condemnation for those that are telling other people what to do if they don't do it. When I stand up here and tell everybody else how they should run their lives, my path gets narrower and narrower and narrower. The Bible says in Matthew 7, stay on the narrow path that leads to life and off the broad path that leads to destruction. And I remember one time murmuring to God, like, well, you know, I just feel like my path gets narrower and narrower all the time. He said, that's right. There's no room on it for your fleshly baggage, so just drop it. You know, we want to have all the privilege and still do dumb stuff, and that's just not going to work. Now, none of this means God doesn't love us. He loves us. But nonetheless, a parent who loves us is not going to stand by and just let us do all kinds of goofy stuff and not bring any kind of correction in our life. Whom the Lord loves, he chastises. And in Revelation, it says, be enthusiastic when God shows you your faults. In the Amplified Bible in Revelation 3, so be enthusiastic and full of zeal when God shows you your faults, because it's just a sign of his love. Well, sometimes I've thought, could you love me a little less? Maybe go love Dave a little more. Wouldn't you like it sometimes if God just loved your spouse a little more than he loves you and tell them what's wrong with them instead of it always being you? Come on, I got to have fun at this part if you want me to make it through tonight. Don't judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourselves. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. And in accordance with the measure that you use when you deal out to others, it will be dealt back out to you. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived and deluded. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that and that only is what he shall reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh ruin, decay, and destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap from the Spirit life and life eternal. Now, let me give you an example concerning the words of your mouth. I believe that when we talk the way we're supposed to, being careful not to be critical and downgrading of other people and being more careful about just saying negative things, I think it adds to our joy. I think we just have happier days. You know, the Bible says a man has joy in making a right and an apt answer. And I also believe that sometimes when people are depressed and they're just having a bad day and they just feel all down, and they're like, I don't know what's wrong, I just got a heaviness, and yeah, gotta rebuke the devil, and I think a lot of it's caused just by the way we talk. Come on, you're not going to go to church on Sunday, sit at the lunch table at work on Monday, and gossip about everybody at the office, and then go home and feel happy. We're in the world, we're not of it. You don't get to act like everybody else. Amen? Woo-hoo. We're having fun. Okay, now, a person can do everything right, though, and still suffer. 1 Peter 2:19-20 are some scriptures that I just really wish were not in here. But they are. For one is regarded favorably, is approved and acceptable and thankworthy, if as in the sight of God he endures the pain of unjust suffering. After all, what kind of glory is there in it if when you do wrong and you're punished for it, you take it patiently? But if you bear patiently with suffering, which results when you do right, and that is undeserved, now this is acceptable and pleasing to God. And I wrote out beside that scripture, very painful. What kind of a God is it that would be happy if I'm suffering unjustly? It doesn't really say that he's happy if we suffer unjustly. It says he's happy if we keep a good attitude when we suffer unjustly. Come on, let's don't misread it. He says, look, anybody can have a good attitude if things are going their way. But when you're suffering, when you're doing right, when you're on your best behavior and you're the one serving God and you give offerings and you walk in the fruit of the Spirit and you help other people and now you the wrong things are happening to you, God is pleased as even in those times if we keep a good attitude and we hold our temper. I'm going to tell you something that I learned a long time ago, and I think this would be up on the top part of the list of some of the things that God's given me to say to people that I think are important and very helpful. In Galatians, it says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And we don't know what that due season is. It's whatever time God feels is the right time in our life. And there are times when God will let things go on longer than we would like them to go on because for whatever reason, you know, he's doing something in us, he's doing something in somebody else. But I want you to remember what I'm getting ready to say. When you can keep doing what's right while you're still not yet getting the right result, you're growing spiritually. Can I give you a secret? When you're growing spiritually, it usually really hurts. Amen? Amen? A lot of things that feel good may feel good, but they don't really maybe help us all that much. But I can tell you sometimes when you're going through really, really hard stuff, stuff like Pastor Charles and his family went through, stuff like I've gone through, stuff like you've gone through, even though you decide to trust God, you can have a pain in your soul that you just sometimes feel like you just can't stand. And one of the things that I've come to realize is it's almost like I can feel that digging a deeper place in my soul for God to come and reside in. You're never alone in your suffering. And when you trust God in your times of suffering, they will never be wasted. Because God will take them and he will work something good out of them and he will make you a better person than what you ever thought that you might possibly be. Amen. How many of you could say right now that you are the person you are because of some of the painful things that you've gone through in your life? I mean, I absolutely have to say that. The things that I've gone through is part of what has qualified me to help you. You know, all we got to do is look at Jesus. It says that the things that he went through, this is in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. But how could you learn obedience when you're never disobedient? Well, he learned the cost of obedience. And you know, obedience is costly. When you do the right thing when it doesn't feel right, there's a pain involved in that. And we do that because we love God. The reward may come later, but right now I'm doing this. I'm doing the hard thing because I love God. And then in the Amplified Bible, in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, it says that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered, and his completed experience equipped him. Our experience equips us. His experience equipped him to become the author and the source of our salvation. I preached a message earlier this year in a few places, and I really enjoyed it, called The Value of Experience. You know, if nothing else, what you're going through right now is giving you experience. And it's going to be something that you can tuck away that nobody can ever take away from you. And one thing is for sure, when you go through something hard and you watch God deliver you and you watch him bring that reward in your life, honey, let me tell you, all the pain that you went through and all the waiting that you went through is worth it when all of a sudden God's reward comes in your life. Amen. Let me tell you something. The people that hurt you will someday have to watch God reward you. Amen. First Peter 4:15 and 16, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or any sort of criminal or a mischief maker. And here it comes, are a meddler in the affairs of other people. Uh-huh. See, you thought I was making that up. It's right here in the Bible. Mind your own business. Now, you know, the thing that I find interesting with this is all of a sudden we're talking about murderers and thieves and criminals. And in the same sentence, now he talks about not meddling in the affairs of other people. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. I mean, that's not a big thing. I mean, yeah, I may gossip some, and maybe I could mind my own business a little bit more, but, I mean, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rob the gas station. I mean, I'm doing good. No, he's got it all in the same sentence. You know, one of the mistakes that we've made in the church is we have sins, and then we have acceptable sins. We've got a whole list of these things that we just get so used to doing that we don't even really recognize what they are anymore. And that's why we need to pray, if you're bold enough to pray this, God, I don't want to get by with anything. Come on, how much courage do you have? How much do you want to grow? God, I don't want to get by with anything. I want to be exactly what you want me to be. And if I'm doing things in my life that I'm not seeing, open my blind eyes and unstop my deaf ears. And how does this suit you? And deal with me however you want to. I'm going to preach the rest of this turn backwards. Deal with me however you want to, but don't let me get by with nonsense.
Well, as we go through unexpected, difficult times, let's learn to be comfortable not knowing all the answers. And you know what? I know that's challenging because we want to know. But even when we don't know the answers, God does. So let's be bold enough to pray, God, I don't know all the answers, but I know that you do. And I trust you that when I need the answer, you will give it to me in your timing. Now, today we're offering you the book that I've written, Unshakable Trust, Learning How to Trust God for All Things at All Times. Just imagine how wonderful that would make your life. Instead of worrying, being anxious, fretting, reasoning, trying to figure out what you should do. Yes, we want to know if God wants us to do something, but if he's not giving us an answer, then thankfully we can trust him until he does. And today we're offering you this book for your gift to the ministry of any amount. We just trust that you'll do the best that you can. And what we're going to do is use the money toward our TV airtime bills. You know, a lot of times we forget that there are bills that come in for all the television that we enjoy watching. And so I'm asking you today to help me with that. I'm trying to help you every day with the Word of God. So this is a way that you can help me and you can get a wonderful book for yourself that I believe is going to make a big difference in your life. And I don't forget, no matter what happens in life, as we trust God, He will take all things and work them out for our good. God bless you.
How do I trust God when I've been disappointed over and over and over?
How can I have faith in God when I'm not seeing an improvement?
I trust God, but sometimes I have so many fears. I don't know what to do.
Tough questions, solid answers. Discover a trust that is unshakable. Receive your copy of Unshakable Trust today for your gift of any amount. Call 1-800-727-9673 or go to joycemeyer.org.
You know, I've just been wondering lately, what is it that makes a person want to leave the comfort and monotony of home to come someplace crazy like this and do a medical clinic? Well, let's ask the volunteer doctors and nurses who do it all the time.
Seeing the world is awesome. It's always a great adventure.
Because the kids are so amazing.
I do this because God put it in my heart to help others.
Because it's life-changing.
We love it. It's awesome.
Because it's really fun.
So what do you think? It can't hurt to at least check it out, right? All you need to do is go to our website, joycemeyer.org. All the information is there for you. And just think, your adventure may begin today.
If I were to ask you if you love your life, what would your answer be? I believe that Jesus wants us to love our lives. But if you don't like what you've got, continuing to do the same thing is not going to give you a different outcome. And I want to encourage you today to get my new book called Living a Life That You Love and see what the changes are that you can make that will start to give you wonderful results in your life. Why not get your copy today? I still felt like God wanted to use me. I mean, I still felt like I still had this dream. I was still studying. We were still struggling financially. I was confused. All the things that people go through. And so they asked me if I wanted to start a women's Bible study at this church. And I really didn't want to start a women's Bible study because I specifically felt like that God had given me a scripture in Philippians 2 that I was to hold out to all men the Word of God. So I never really felt called just to teach women. I really felt like that the same Word was for everybody and that I was going to teach everybody, not just women. And so at first I wasn't going to do the Bible study, and then I remember thinking, well, God's not opening up anything else, and this is opened up, so I probably should take the opportunity. And they advertised it a little bit, and I mean, this was just a miracle from God. The first one that we had was on a Thursday morning at what Dave calls a little church in the valley, which it was just a little tiny building.
Tiny church.
And 115 people came. Mm. And it was like, where did all these people come from? And it was the start of something pretty major, and it was just God.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.